Tonight, a united nation goes forward with the determination to win this war and bring about a just and enduring peace. But we cannot win our war or make our peace unless we understand the character of the enemy we are fighting. That is why
Sean Kennedy
is bringing these programs to you. This is a program of truth. This is the truth about our enemy.
You are little people. You can't work out your own destinies. I do that for you.
Kill them. One by one. There are not enough of you to shoot us all. You, the few swaggering conquerors. There's no room in a decent world for you and your kind. We little people, thousands, millions of us, will join together and crowd you out of our world.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, January 15th, 2007. And boy, oh boy, has it been a long time since I've been able to talk to any of you guys, huh? Too long altogether. But do not worry, this would be Newsreel, the walk global set rep for core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Red Media is taking a stand for free speech, free thought, free form, free expression, and free media, which is of short supply on the internet these days. But we're taking a stand for that, and just by listening to this program, well, you are too, and do more than listen. Make sure you give it to people. Distribute this. Hand out my old stuff, hand out the new stuff, hand out this stuff, that stuff, everybody's stuff. And you can read along with me, but you know it is time to turn the page when you hear the gunshots ring out and my microphone is silenced. But until that point, you can get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast. Well, it's an internet broadcast, not really a radio broadcast. I should change that. I still haven't changed that in the show format, but thank God the show format is still kicking around because, you know what, I haven't touched this thing in 6 months, and thank God it's still there. But anyway, I guess originally this show was rebroadcast on Rant Radio. Big shock considering where the guy's putting the show out. Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Osprey Radio, Extreme Radio Tampa, SRN1, 99 Nuke FM. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit, which means that you can make your own radio station. And you can give it away, or you can burn it to disk, or you can put it on a thumb drive, or a USB drive, or a hard drive, or a floppy drive, or any kind of drive, or a broadcast it while you drive using an FM transmitter, which surprisingly, a lot of those FM transmitters, you know, you can put in your cars, and then you put like a bumper sticker, like a big sign on the back of your window saying, tune into whatever frequency you're broadcasting on, and that way people can listen to your radio station as you move. Totally illegal. Very hard to enforce and very free, and it's a great way to expose people to other media. Don't just put me on there. Put Mumia on there. Put Jello on there. Jello's got a new album out. I just got it sent to me. Very, very sexy. You want to go buy it and pick it up. I'd read you the title of the album, but I left it in the car. I don't want to misquote it, but Jello's got a new album out. I'm going to be sending a nice letter to the good people at Alternative Tentacles who sent me his album, which was really cool. not just because free stuff is cool, not just because of that, but just because, well, you know, Cholo's got a lot of good stuff to say. I don't agree with everything he says, just like all the email I get from everybody. I don't agree with everything you say. Well, that's good. I'm glad you don't agree with everything I say. Otherwise, I would not be an internet broadcaster. I would be, well, Jerry Falwell. And even then, you know, who knows what those people agree with. And you know, those people, what are you saying, Sean? Are you coming aboard the Christians? Right after you got on board the Christian Satellite Radio Network? Can you believe that? I got on board the Christian Satellite Radio Network. It's true. Voice of the Master Radio with this dude. And he phones me up, and he winds up, you know, slack-jawing with me and stuff like that. And he wants to, you know, kind of take me into the Christian octagon there and beat my head against the floor until I submit to the will of God. But unfortunately, it didn't really go that way. Didn't really go that way. Nice guy, though. Nice guy. A little bit, you know, I mean, he's pimping God. You know, that's what he's doing. That's how he makes money. He's a God pimp. But, you know, I mean, he seemed like a pretty decent enough fella, and he didn't really try to lock horns with me too bad. So he's, you know, I mean, he believes in what he's doing. He actually thinks that, you know, and I sort of felt that he kind of was expecting me to throw in with the whole Christian crowd so that I, as well, could become a, you know, internet or, I don't know, DJ, Christian DJ. Why not? It's working for Anne Rice. Huh? Oh, God. If there's one person I love on the writing world of the horror market. Now, for those of you who don't know, okay, you know, which I'm pretty sure everybody out there does know, I'm not an internet DJ. I'm actually a horror writer. Yes, it's true. It's the only thing I've ever claimed to be was a horror writer. That was all. That was the original goal. You know, when I was like 14 and stuff, I wanted to write horror stories. Wrote a couple books. First one came out. We sold out. Done. Can't get it. You tried to get it. You wanted to get it. You thought about buying it. Oh, I should buy that. Now you can't. Okay, because they're gone. They're all gone. But with the new book, which Sim's working on right now, Scab Wings of Abaddon, which has received rave reviews from everywhere, probably because the spelling isn't nearly as bad as it is in the first book. But anyway, the second book content is much better. It's a much better book. It's my second book. It was a better book. And it's coming out soon. How soon? Probably within 90 days of this broadcast. You'll probably hear some more updates about a solid date and time. But that's all I can tell you for now. Sim's working on it. He's probably going to shoot me for saying 90 days. But, you know, that's where we're at. So just in case you're wondering, hey, Sean, what's happening with the Scab Wings of Abaddon? I just wanted to, you know, let you know with that. So, and it'll be done on demand. You'll be able to buy them. I don't believe there'll be a finite demand on the book. So, you know, if we sell 10 million copies, which would be great, because then I could, well, I wouldn't need to work, and I could go back to doing Newsreel Daily. Which, you know what? If this was my job, if I made, you know, enough money, which that's a kind of funny statement, you know, how much is enough money? Well, I'll tell you. I'm back on the air now. And over the summer, I went away to Kingston. I did the Army thing. I went and ran away, joined the reserves. And, you know, 32 years old. Everybody else on the course is like 19. Everybody weighs like 120 pounds, except for yours truly, who's like 250. And these spry little bastards are getting up in the morning and vaulting along the dryer vent, which is Kingston in the summertime. And it was just horrific, let me tell you. You sweat all the time. Showering's almost moot in that place because you'll have a shower, and then you'll towel for 4 hours, and you'll wonder why you're still wet. It's sweat. Yes, I understand that. So it was a good time this summer. I lost a bunch of weight, sorted a bunch of stuff out. Really, really good for me. Really good for the marriage. Really good for the brain bucket, which is kind of funny because you would think, why would going away for 2 months be good for your marriage? Well, it is. Sometimes absence makes the heart grow fonder, brings things back into sharp focus to let you realize, you know, oh, wait. Oh, yeah. This is what it was like to be single. This is what it's like not to have anyone. Oh, right. Because after 7, 8 years, you forget all that stuff. And then, you know, you come crawling back to your wife and beg her to, you know, let you back into the house, which is generally, you know, what happens because that's where all my stuff is. You know, really. I mean, that's where I keep my stuff is the house. It's very, very handy. So I had a good time there. Got a bunch of stuff sorted out. Got the headspace and timing sorted out, which is good. And then over Christmas, the donations kept coming. People were still donating. A dude in Britain donated just way too much money. Thank you very much. I hope you can afford that. And I started thinking about it. And I got a couple buddies of mine. One of my buddies is a pilot. And he's like, wow, that's, you know, you should really follow this. You should keep going with it, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I just thought, you know, he's right. When they're right, they're right. Did you know? I'm a big fan. You know, it's okay to talk about who you're a fan. I'm a fan of Jell-O. Everyone knows that. I'm a big fan of Jell-O, big inspiration to me. But you know who I'm really, really starting to be a fan of? And, you know, I don't care what anybody says. You know, I don't care if I'm going to get flack for this or what. But I'm a big fan of Coast to Coast. I am. George Norrie and Art Bell. Those guys, like Art Bell, That guy's badass, man. Like, Bart Bell is pretty tough. That guy held the world's record for length of time broadcasting. Never mind a 24-hour marathon. That guy broadcast for like 140 hours or something like that. It was ridiculous. Like 100 hours into it, he started hallucinating on the air. On the air. Can you imagine that? And Art still is the kind of guy who just, you know, takes lines, straight feed, no buffer, nothing. You know, just straight out to the world. People phone in and talk about aliens. You know, and you got to respect that. You got to respect someone with that kind of raw talent that they can, you know, get out there and do that on the air. I mean, there's not a lot of guys who can do that stuff anymore. So if there was one person that I would want to look at and say, you know what, Art's been doing this a long, long time. And I, you know, broadcast every day for a year there, and I was all whining. I'm whining like a little wimp there. Oh, God, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not making enough money. Well, you know what? The internet did not let me down. A lot of people kept on donating, even though they were like, no, Sean, we believe in you, man. We know you're going to come back. And even when I was going, no, I'm never going back. Screw you. I hate you guys. I hate you forever. Yes. No, even when I was doing all that nonsense, people were still like, no, Sean, we still believe in you. And then just recently, we went to Rant Meet 8. And while I was driving down to go to Rant Meet 8, which was fantastic, I'm going to get more involved with the Rant Meet. As a matter of fact, I'd like to do it quarterly, not just yearly. Because what are you going to do yearly? Oh, hey, what's up? Yeah, we haven't really done anything. So, you know, if you made it quarterly, like the springtime, summer, winter, fall, and you got together, you know, and had nights and stuff, I'd like to hook it in with the goth scene. I think I'll talk to DJ Vortex about that and hook it in with, you know, those malfunction trips and stuff like that so we can, you know, keep the goth scene alive in Vancouver because it's a good scene. It's a good scene. The women are hot. I mean, what's wrong with bustiers, right? What's wrong with bustiers? I like them. I think they're good. You know, cleavage. Got to like the cleavage. You know, it's good to go. But, you know, if we could hook in with the goth scene, because it's kind of techno-industrial, cyberpunk is all very there. We were, so, for a matter of fact, when we went to this malfunction thing, what did they have playing on the walls? Well, they had 1950s propaganda films about duck and cover, which was great. You know, you can't go wrong there. And then they had Blade Runner playing on one wall, which is about as most cyberpunk as you could possibly get. And then they had Escape from either L.A. or New York. I don't know. I think I couldn't really tell because it was broadcast on a sheet that was kind of nailed to this wall at this weird angle. It's kind of doing the Hellraiser Terry Flesh thing with a sheet going on there. Very, very cool. Great night. The DJs were stellar. They were playing music from right across the spectrum. It was fantastic. And if you ever get a chance to get up to Vancouver and you want to check out Malfunction, it's a really good time. And, you know, it was great. But anyway, on my way out there, I was thinking about the news and media, news media and all this kind of stuff. And I never really got a chance to explain to people why the show went off the air. So, you know, I figure I'd give people a little bit of a insight there. See, what happens is when you're doing the news, like the news is designed, and this is something that I thought up on the way to this malfunction gig. The news is designed to make you feel helpless. Any news media you watch is designed to make you feel helpless. That way, as you know, get overwhelmed with, oh my God, we got 3,000 dead in Iraq. We don't know what we're doing. The president's insane. Holy shit. What the hell is going on? You know, and that's the problem. So you feel helpless. You're like, oh, I'm so depressed. And so you focus on your checkout line job. That's what you do. So you're not worried about everything else. Just don't watch the news anymore. Why don't you just focus on what's important to you and try to love your loved ones? Well, there's some logic in that. You know, you want to make sure that you look after your loved ones. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's a really good idea, and you want to stay focused and look after that. Because you can't, you know, sort out your own house. You definitely can't, look after anything else. That's why these protesters really make me laugh. These guys with, you know, the dreadlocked hair and the, you know, they don't smell like they've probably bathed in about 3 or 4 months, and they're waving around these little signs with misspelled slogans on them. Yeah, those people really freak me out because, you know, you can't look after yourself. How can you possibly look after the planet? You're using your protesting lifestyle to make an excuse for why you're a failure, which is what you don't want. Okay, you don't want that. You want to make sure that you sort out your own home and you sort out your own house, regardless of what you call your home. You know, the house, figuratively, you know, sort of as a figurative expression, not an actual dwelling that is a house, but it could be an apartment, could be, you know, a van down by the river. Whatever your house is, that is your house, right? So you got to make sure you're organized there. You got to make sure you're structured there before you start, you know, vaulting out across the universe and trying to save everything, because if you can't, no one will ever take you very seriously. So this is one of the reasons why I went off the air. But getting back on the air, I realized, you know, the news media exists to make you feel helpless. I talked about that. So once you realize that, you're like, wow, hey, you know what? That's wrong. That's wrong. You know, there's a lot of stuff we can do as individuals. You know, if we could try to stay away from the news media, you know, that is trying to saturate us with panic, you know, we could do a lot of good. You know, we could do a lot of good locally, individually. And I guess a lot of folks view Newsreel as their source of news, which is mildly frightening. You shouldn't use me for that. You know, there's a perfectly good internet out there. You know, a lot of people spend a lot of money to build that for you. You should really use it. You know, and get a hold of some of the contacts and information that you can, you know, see to, you know, get things going. But if you want to listen to the show, that's great. You know, thank you very much. And the people who donated to the show and who continue to donate, this show belongs to you. Anybody who donates to this show, I'm here to tell you, I work for those guys. They are my boss. And a lot of things have changed. A lot of things have changed. Nothing really scary. Nothing that will freak you guys out. But a lot of my perceptions of what's going on with the show and how important the show is definitely come sharply into focus. Sometimes you don't take your own stuff seriously. You know, it's like those artists who make stuff and then they decide that they, you know, it's no good, so they give it away and then they die and their stuff sells for billions of dollars. You know, that's not me, but that's kind of the same sort of mentality that I have sometimes. Everything I do, I give it away, which I'm going to continue to do because that's something else. And this is, you know, I'm all over the board here, but hey, we got to catch up. We got to catch up before we get into the show, okay? But the truth is that the free internet's dying. Everything, you know, it's like the song says, that he wants to see, you know, they make you want to pay for what you used to get for free. I don't agree with that, and I'm pretty sure Sim doesn't agree with that. You know, there's no reason why, you know, if we're going to compete with the world news media, we'll beat them on price point. The product's good. Product's good. You're still listening. We're 13 minutes and 47 seconds into the show, and you're still listening, so the product's okay. So the problem is then is that, you know, well, if it was any good, people would subscribe to it and pay for it. I don't want that. I don't want that. If you can afford to donate to the show, donate to the show. Notice how I said afford to. If you can afford to. I'm not taking food from nobody's mouth. Okay? I'm not going to, you know, trick you into making some direct payment thing out of your bank account. You forget about it. 6 months later when you go to buy the Slurpee, it's gone because Sean Kennedy, you know, stuck a knife in your ribs and took your Slurpee money. Not going to happen. You know, if you can make a donation, do it. If not, great, okay? Enough said on that. But it is important that we do keep going with media. Another guy, when I was getting back on the air, he said, hey, Sean, you know, this is great. This is typical, you know. I'm coming out with my own show that's supposed to compete with Newsreel, which is an interesting way. I don't know if he actually said the word compete. I should put words in his mouth. But he posted on my live journey. He said, yeah, this was, you know, my own version of Newsreel, and now I can't because, you know, I mean, that's typical. I said, well, no. Let me know when you're doing it. Let me know when you're doing it. I'll promote it. It's not like this pie is so big. The independent media pie is so huge. You and I could chow for hours and we never actually see each other. So you know what? I'm more than willing to share. As a matter of fact, is that not what I have been saying for the longest time? Echoing Jello, who echoed someone else. Do not hate the media. Become the media. The more independent broadcasters we get out there talking about the news, talking about views, talking about stuff that just the mainstream CNN, Globe and Mail, you know, news feed at the trough of the core politicals there. As if we can get around that, talk about news stories everybody else is not talking about, exposing stuff that other people are not exposing. And I'm not saying you got to turn into Alex Jones. God love him. I mean, he's a good guy. Works like a trooper. I don't know when the man sleeps. I am in awe of Alex Jones. But, you know, well, you can talk about stuff. If you've got a technical aptitude, talk about that. Talk about freely distributing information so other people can build equipment and better their lives, all that kind of stuff. We are a community. We are a community connected by wires and light. That is how we communicate. That's about the most cyberpunk thing that ever was. We're like Max Headroom, who just wouldn't die. You know, and that's great. I enjoy that. I think that that's a good thing. It's a valid community. It's a strong community. We've outlasted a bunch of other subcultures and a bunch of other... Where are the preppies now? Where are the yuppies now? When was the last time I even heard somebody called a yuppie? But cyberpunk culture is still going. Yeah, we're underground. Yeah, we're called everything from netrunners to nerds to geeks, and it's trendy and it's not trendy and it's back up and it's back down. But I'm here to tell you, it's now, what, 2007? It's 7 years later. We're still here. And you're still listening. I'm still broadcasting. And that's what makes Rant Media and the Rant community strong. So provided we just keep going forwards and stop throwing knives at each other, we will do just fine. Now, I got a thing from my live journal here. I better get going. I'm 17 minutes into the show. Hello, server. This is from my live journal. Sean, for the first time since I killed my iPod. Now, you know, I never got an iPod. I never got into the iPod thing. You know, the iLife, the iSim existence thing. I never got into that. You know, I didn't have time. I don't know why. I just, you know, whatever. I missed the little thing. I have to buy a cheap-out MP3 player to hold me over. Psyched to hear what you have to say. One of a thousand. And that's Mike Was. Well, Mike Was, I'm here to tell you, I don't know. I do not know. I would probably look at, you know, there's a billion different solid-state things you can use. You know, instead of, I'm not going to wade into that front of like, you know, I need an MP3 player. Dude, get something cheap. Buy a cheap one with a huge amount of storage. Make sure you got a good warranty on it. It's about the warranty. You know, I know that there's some stores that they don't even care. You just show up with the device, they give you a new one, they walk away. You don't want to buy from someone small, local. If you have a Chinatown in the area you live in, like an Asian community sort of, you know, a place where they bring in, you know, black market goods from Asia. We got it here in Vancouver. We got the night market, which is pretty dope. I think we're going to have to do a rant meet at the night market because I think that would be pretty seriously cyberpunk to do. I think we're going to have to set one of those up. Sim's probably listening to this, you know? He should be. Damn it. It's the first one I've done in a while. But anyway, if he's not, whatever. I think we're going to try to set one up for the night market, do a rant meet down there, try to get the people together, try to get the community up. That'll be good. That would be good. But I don't know what to do in the way of MP3s, man. I have no clue what to give you. But, you know, there's so much tech now out there floating around. It shouldn't be too hard for you to find. Now, Sort Yourself Out. I don't have anything for Sort Yourself Out. Sort Yourself Out is a portion of the show where I give out advice for people with problems. You know, it's kind of like free psych advice. It's like Dr. Laura meets, you know, I don't know, somebody else. But that's the idea, is to look at the whole, you know, advice thing. If you want advice about anything, you know, you get it from me. You know, so you probably don't want to ask about, you know, launch codes or, you know, vector, you know, factoring in space or anything, because I don't know anything about that. But if you want to ask me questions about, you know, how to, I don't know anything. Oh, hell, you can even ask me questions about the vectoring stuff in space. I'm cool with that. But let's get into the news, shall we? What's been going on? Well, been a lot of stuff that's been happening. Of course, you know, we got a bunch of dead guys in Iraq. And a lot of people, I suppose, are going to be saying, oh, Sean's flip-flopping again. Yes, yes, it's true. When I get more information, sometimes I change my opinion on things. This is a flaw. I know it is, you know. So I guess the ideal way to be is to, you know, sit there and lock in with a thought form and never shift your opinion on anything. That way you can just grow up and grow old and you'll just, you know, remain cemented in your ways, nice and predictable. But that's not going to happen. Okay, that's not going to happen. What's going to happen instead is I'm going to say, yeah, I enjoy the military. I think the military is awesome. I think soldiers are the best people on the planet. I think they're willing to stand up for what they believe in. I think that all of us are soldiers on some level. We just have to discover that within ourselves. Some soldiers should be given rifles. Some soldiers should not be given rifles or anything even sharp. Maybe even pencils are a bad idea. But, you know, I believe that I enjoy the military and the military way of thinking. The military is nothing more than a sword. That is what the military is. It is a method to organize people to apply force. Now, the problem is the arm wielding the sword. And there's a few problems with the arm wielding the sword. The least of which being that, of course, the, you know, tactically, the war in Iraq is being run like a freaking nightmare. And these kids are getting killed with no ends in sight. So, since I like soldiers, I don't like seeing them die. You know, there's a lot of crazy Islamofascist nutbags who are all talking about, you know, mud hut religion and praying to rocks and that whole crowd. You know, I think they're all crazier than rats. And we really need to re-educate these guys. And all the mullahs who are, like, you know, killing little girls who learn to read and stuff like that, they need to be turned off. But, you know, I still believe in the army, believe in the military, believe in the military way of life. All the people I encourage to join the army, I don't regret that for the moment, because chances are your life was shit before you joined, and now, you know, your life is in a different phase of shit, or it should have improved. So, you know, that said, I just wanted to make that clear before we carry on here. But anyway, getting away from Iraq, because I'm sure you're saturated with that stuff, let's talk about disclosure. Let's talk about ways we can find out about who's making policy, making ideas, making thoughts and opinions and concepts. And there's a new initiative called WikiLeaks. You've heard of Wikipedia. And WikiLeaks seeks to promote good government and democratization by enabling anonymous disclosure of publication of confidential government records, i.e., I work on this project. And I know that 9/11 was an inside job. So I'm going to release this footage that I have that I shot with my cell phone or whatever, and I'm going to make sure it gets out to people. WikiLeaks is developing an uncensorable version of Wikipedia for untraceable mass document leaking and analysis, according to the project website. Our primary targets are highly oppressive regimes in China, Russia, Central Eurasia, the Middle East, Sub-Saharan Africa, but we also expect to be of assistance in those in the West who wish to reveal unethical behavior in their own governments and corporations. And corporations. Their own governments and corporations. Very, very clever. Now, I got this from Secrecy News, which there's a link on the website. You want to check it out. Go there. Subscribe to that newsletter. Very, very good. Comes in the email. I'm not one much for getting people to subscribe to things for email, but let me tell you, these guys really know they're borscht, okay? You really want to get in there, and you really want to subscribe. Support these guys. They're very, very good. The website is not fully live, but this is. I know that there's going to be lots of guys out there checking out this WikiLeaks thing, and the minute that stuff shows up on there, it's going to show up in my inbox again, because guys will be like, whoa, dude, hey, you know what? That stuff you suspected, that was true. You're right, Sean. I don't know how you do that. Very clever. Well, you know. I've been doing this for a little while. A child porn crackdown. Now, this is interesting. Everybody knows my stance on child porn. If you don't, I believe in turning pedophiles off. Turning them off. Okay? But, you know, and for obvious reasons. You know, if you're one of these relative moralist people who think that, you know, well, you know, pedophilia isn't all bad. You know, in some cultures it's allowed. You know, and so, you know, if I want to have sex with an underage child, I think I should be allowed to do that. I think that's okay, blah, blah, blah. If you're one of those crowd, yes. Did you know that you can drink antifreeze? No, I'm kidding. Don't drink antifreeze, unless, of course, you're a pedophile, in which case, get your old head in front of the shotgun. I have very little time for that. I believe that all sex offenders, especially assault, and I mean sex offenders now. I'm talking about people who've committed crimes, not thought crimes. You know what I mean? I think that they should be turned off. People who just look at pictures, they're sick, deranged. I personally would not allow them on my property. I don't like them. I don't think they should be killed, though. I think they should probably go through really deep, probing, psychic restructuring or something in order to make them not broken. And if we can't break them and we think that they're going to start, you know, hurting children, then we should probably do something about that, either through restraint or something. But, you know, I'm very much against child pornography. Okay, it's where I'm going with this. All right, but the German police have added a new weapon in their fight against child pornography, which is good, on the internet, you know. In addition to scouring IP addresses, they're now collaborating with credit card companies to search databases for transaction information as part of an operation dubbed Mikado, which is the Gilbert and Sullivan play. But anyway, members of a special child porn squad in the German state of Sachsen-Anhalt, and I'm sure I'm screwing that up, have worked with credit card companies to pore over the transactions of more than 22 million customers. The search uncovered 322 people suspected of purchasing child pornography illegally over the internet. They purchased it illegally over the internet. Well, if they purchased it over the internet and they used a credit card, they probably bought it legally. They didn't steal it. You know, it's interesting how they phrase that. But anyway, the database search was conducted by the credit card companies, not the German police, which have no direct access to the financial records of people registered in Germany. German data privacy laws allow police to ask financial institutions to provide data about individuals, but only if investigators meet certain conditions, including the concrete suspicion of illegal behavior and narrowly defined search criteria, according to Johann Bitzer, Deputy Director of Independent Center of Privacy Protection in the German state of Schleswig-Holstein. I guess that's where they do this. This is a sticky one. This is a sticky one. Do we like this? Do we think this is a good idea? I would say yes. You know what? Because it's not the cops doing it. They said, hey, listen, we're hunting pedophiles. And the German guys say, oh, you know, well, we will turn them over. Naughty little pedophile. So they turn them over to the German police, you know, the Polizei, which is, you know, handy. Don't fuck with the Polizei. They're pretty tough. So that's an interesting thing. It'd be interesting to see where this goes. Who else is going to start doing this? You know, oh, well, they're illegally purchasing music over the internet. You know, I mean, I don't know. Something to be aware of. Something to see what they're doing over there in Deutschland. No more double-double. Well, this is kind of interesting. You know, the holidays are over. I hope everybody had a good Christmas and a good New Year's. I had a very good Christmas. Christianness. I had a very good Christmas. I got a Christmas card. I got a Christmas card from Sumerian. Of course, he's going to swing up and down and swear all over the place that, no, it wasn't. It's dated December 26th, Sean. It's not a Christmas card. Nowhere on the card does it say Merry Christmas. Okay, dude. Sim sent me a picture with, oh, expose, major news leak. Sim sent me a card with a picture of himself and his girlfriend on it. Yes, Sim has a girlfriend, and we're all very happy with her, too. But anyway, sent me this card. And it said, you know, something like, I hope you get snowed in and work gets canceled or something. But it's a Christmas card. I don't care what you paint that. It's still a Christmas card. The brother gave me a Christmas card. And you know what? Don't razz him about it because it's good. It's good. If there's somebody out there on the planet who could use a little bit of Christmas spirit, it's Sim. Sim and Osama bin Laden could both use some real Christmas spirit. No relation, of course, between the two of them. They don't even look similar. Sim has no facial hair. And he's white. And he's Canadian. And he's vegan. And he doesn't believe in mud hut religion. But anyway, regardless of this fact, I still got a Christmas card. And if Sumerian can send me a Christmas card, then there's hope for the universe out there. But anyway, over the holidays. Oh, and I got an egg. It's true. I got an egg for Christmas. I was really happy with it. It's a dinosaur egg. Yeah! It's one of those duck-billed dinosaurs. I got a full-size egg. I was really sexy. I'm super stoked about it. 120-million-year-old egg. Might hatch. Doing some stuff. Got to see if I can get it working. You know, if I can get it hatched, that'd be hot. I don't think it's going to work. It's been 120 million years, but I got faith. I got faith. Anyways, over the holidays, a lot of people, you know, they're trying to... Now we've been super saturated with all the fatty foods that they crank at you right from November on. You know, they're right on you. Get fat. Eat this. Indulge. You know, you have as much Christmas cake as you can get into you. And now you're like, oh, God. And then, of course, you know, the fitness industry gets a hold of you in January. Oh, time for those New Year's resolutions. You better work out, you fat bastard. You know, that kind of a thing. But anyway, so people are always looking for antidotes over the holidays. So those looking for an antidote to holiday overindulgence may have had to drink more tea on their list of New Year's resolutions, which is good. Green tea, very good. Speeds up metabolism. You know, a couple billion Chinese, can't be wrong, given the past studies linking drinking tea to health benefits. But new researchers indicate this could all be in vain if you add a splash of milk. Interesting, if you put milk in your tea, it negates the health effects. German researchers, now this is something you're not going to find on the news, German researchers have found that the relaxing effect of a few cups of ordinary black tea on the arteries is completely wiped out by milk. After water, tea is the most widely drunk beverage in the world. Well, it isn't really a beverage. Water is sort of, you know, required for life. And is increasingly popular in countries such as the U.S. after reports that people who drink more tea have less cardiovascular disease and cancer. These effects have been seen most clearly in East Asia, not in tea-loving countries such as the U.K. That could be because there's almost always drink... people almost always drink their tea with milk, says Verna Stangl of the Charité Hospital in Berlin. A lot of stuff coming out of Germany today. She and her colleagues found that when middle-aged women drank half a liter of black Darjeeling, their arteries relaxed much more in response than the artificially increased flow without the tea. The ability to prevent cardiovascular problems, blah, 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 blah. The team found that the casein proteins, casein, C-A-S-E-I-N, proteins from milk block the effect of tea all by themselves. So tea and black tea, you know, I don't think you put milk in green tea. I've never heard anybody putting milk in green tea. Sounds kind of grim. But if you're drinking tea for health benefits, you might want to consider maybe laying off the milk. Which, you know, there's a lot of people saying milk's really bad for you. I just finished a bowl of cereal. You know, I eat milk. You know, sorry. Whatever. You can only do what you can do. You know, I may not be as hardcore as thou. You know, I'm not eating my, you know, prayed over crystal soaked food, you know, and yeah, I eat meat and I like steak and I eat beer and all the rest of it. So, you know, but I do the show, so, you know, I'll be judged by the end of it, you know, whatever. But, you know, honestly, just because you can't do everything, don't do nothing. All right? That's what I'm saying here. But in case you're wondering, if you're happen to be bent that way, that you're, you know, super worried about, you know, your herbal tea, try not to drink herbal tea with any milk in it, because apparently it does some bad stuff when you put milk in there. Me personally, I'm a Tim Hortons double-double kind of guy. Which is true. That's about as Canadian as you could possibly get. Maybe that's from the Army. The Canadian Army, I swear to God, if like everyone laughs about the Canadian Army, oh, the Canadian Armed Forces, I'll tell you something. Why don't you go take a Tim Hortons hostage and watch what happens next? I tell ya. There would be no measure or scale for how quickly the Canadian Armed Forces would bring the war to that Tim Hortons doorstep. I kid you not. I kid you not. The people of Canada love Tim Hortons. It's a coffee chain started by a hockey player. Come on, man. And it's cheap. Oh, it's cheap. It's cheap and dirty. Oh, dirty cheap. And if you walk in there and say a double-double, they'll give you two coffee, two sugar, and any coffee. I love it. And it's cheap. Cheap. It's the cheapest coffee out there, and it's good stuff. This isn't an ad for Timmy's. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, they just went public, and I know that they're now owned by the guy. That guy in the States, the fat guy who died, the Wendy's guy, he now owns the whole show. So I don't even think it's a Canadian company anymore. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But anyway, I'm just saying, you know, I like Timmy's. But anyway, in MK Ultra News, if that's bad, it's better than promoting Dr. Pepper. But anyway, in MK Ultra News, now for those of you who are, you know, playing along at the home game and under the age of, you know, 16 or whatever, turn the show off because, you know what, well, no, the language isn't too bad. I've been able to keep it pretty clean. You know, a couple of S-bombs, but no F-bombs. You know, I mean, well, you know, we got to try to remain adult here. You know, I'm almost 34 years old, for crying out loud. You can't be sitting here, you know, swearing your head off every 10 minutes. Loses its effectiveness. But MK Ultra was a series of experiments that was done back in the late 60s there, where, you know, the government decided they were going to use chemicals to alter people's brains and hypnotherapy. Lots of good, you know, Manchurian Candidate kind of stuff written about it. Jacob's Ladder was a movie about it. Manchurian Candidate was a movie about it. There's a bunch of movies about it. This one was sent to me by Evil Vossenary, good old buddy of mine, an old army buddy of mine, in fact. And this is from Sunday, January 7th, so it's pretty fresh at the recording of this program. In Montreal, Janine Huard says that when she was a young mother of four with mid-postpartum depression, when she checked herself in for psychiatric treatment at the Montreal Hospital more than 5 decades ago. So this is a while ago. Horrid said what happened after that still haunts her today, and she'll be in a federal courtroom this week seeking to launch a class action lawsuit against the Canadian government for Cold War era brainwashing experiments carried out on her and hundreds of other patients in Canada. Interesting. I was a guinea pig, Horrid told the Canadian press. Now, she's like 70-something, right? She's 79. She's almost 80 years old. So the question would be, why? What does she hope to gain out of this? Is she trying to get money for her kids, or is she trying to draw attention to this, or does she feel genuinely wrong? On and off for more than a decade at McGill University's renowned Allen Memorial Institute, Huard, the woman, says she received massive electroshocks and was fed more than 40 experimental pills a day. That's a lot of farting, okay? She's going to be farting hardcore with that. I mean, you got 40 pills a day, dude. That's a lot of pills. Huard, who will be 79 at the end of the month, she's turning 80. Well, she turned 79, but soon to be turning 80, says she was drugged and subjected to so-called de-patterning. De-patterning, interesting. During which repetitive recordings were played in her ear for weeks on end, one of them telling her she was of no use to her family. Very weird. I don't really care what the messages are saying. Feeding me 40 pills a day and then strapping headphones on me with subliminal messages. I don't really care what those messages are. I'm not really interested. I came out of there so sick that my mother had to live with me for 10 years, Huard said. I couldn't take care of my children anymore. Huard said she lost memories and suffered from migraines. Now, I would wonder why she went back for 10 years. I mean, if I show up to a place, they start strapping voltage through me. And, you know, feed me all kinds of pills and strapping headphones on me. I'd be like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'd agree with whatever until I got out of there. And I'd be like, okay, I'm done. Or could it be that she just is one of these people who blindly trusts the government and says, well, you know, I guess I don't know right from wrong. I can't really make a decision on what's right for me, so I guess I'll go along with it. Does that mean that she, you know, it's her own fault? Or do we have a responsibility to this woman to say, yeah, we're really sorry that you came to us for help and we experimented on you. The ordeal came at the hands of a Dr. Ewan Cameron, E-W-E-N Cameron, Cameron, like, you know, James Cameron, an Edinburgh-educated New York-based doctor who pioneered, you ready for this one, psychic driving, by which he believed he could erase memories of patients and rebuild their psyches without psychiatric defect. Holy mad scientist news. Holy mad scientist news. That's crazy. But this is yet more evidence of the kind of stuff that has been going on. Okay, a lot of people are like, well, that's all conspiracy. No. No, it is not all conspiracy theory. This stuff actually happened. They're in court over this now. And if it happened then, you don't think that's going to happen again? Those who do not, you know, remember the past are condemned to repeat it. You know, the little plaque that was above Jonestown's buddy, Jim Jones's head in Jonestown, where they killed all the people, where the term drinking the Kool-Aid comes from, that whole gig? Yeah. We want to be aware of this. We want to be aware of this. We want to make sure that people understand what is going on, because, well, you want to have little catch and checks and balances in place so that this doesn't, you know, go forward. Now, not all scientists are bad. Some scientists are good. Some scientists are doing a lot of research in areas where they're worried about, you know, genetics, genetic modification, diseases, that kind of a thing. A lot of that. Those that are still alive, of course. There was a massive list of world scientists in the genetic field that are dying in weird ways. They're dying of, like, murder. We're not talking, like, you know, oh, they had a heart attack. Some of them had a blood clot. Some of them died of, like, a heart attack. Some of them were, like, you know, old Japanese scientist guy found stabbed to death in his car. Or a buddy gets, you know, an older woman who's doing genetic research walking from the lab to her car, gets picked up, shoved in a van, murdered, shoved in a culvert, found floating in a drainage tank. Like, how is it that these scientists are getting checked out in ways that mafiosos and gang members are killed, and yet these scientists are being murdered like this? And there's a website here linked up with the names of all these scientists. Some of these people are a little bit older. They're dying, you know, well, you know, he died, he had a heart attack, whatever. But some of them are dying in weird, weird ways. And there's a massive, like, they're all genetic-related research in genetics. These are the people, you know, if there was a major genetic outbreak of, like, SARS or other genetic defect diseases, these are the heavy hitters. These are the A-team guys. These are the, you know, the go-to people who would say, hey, you know, what's going on? But they're dying. And I've heard of this before. And this website here gives you a link of all these people. Give it a read. Get over there, check that out. Check out what's going on. And maybe watch the news for any more scientists that might be dying, because this is kind of weird. Kind of weird, a little bit, you know, if nothing but race car drivers were dying, we'd be hearing about it. But we don't. Why don't we hear about that? Well, we don't hear about it because, you know, it's not really sexy news, I guess. No one really cares if genetic engineering scientists die. You know, no one really cares because, well, you know, we're going to use genetic weapons on the world, right? I guess. I don't know. I'm just asking. In space news. Now, not often you get a lot of space news. Did you know, in a wonderfully successful multi-mission, India's polar satellite launch vehicle majestically took off at 9:23 a.m. on Wednesday from its beachside launch pad at Sriharikonda-Nakamukka and injected four satellites, one after the other, into precise orbit. So they put up a rocket, shot out four satellites. Two satellites belong to India, two are from abroad. This is interesting. Two satellites belong to India, and two are from abroad. That's all it says. This is the PSLV's ninth successful launch in a row, providing that a trusted workhorse for the Indian Space Research Organization. A highlight of the mission is that one of the four satellites, called the Space Capsule Recovery Experiment, will be recovered on January 22nd when it falls into the Bay of Bengal after staying in orbit for 11 days. This is the first time the ISRO is attempting to recover a satellite. The technological challenge on several fronts. The PSLV C7 is a tremendous boost to the morale of the 15,000-strong ISRO community after the failure of its geosynchronous satellite launch vehicle on July 10, 2006. So this is like India's NASA. And India's NASA just put four satellites up. Two from India, two from, quote-unquote, abroad. Is that Pakistan? Is that, who is that? Who's putting up these, who's putting up the China? Would China do it? Is it American satellites? What are they doing up there? What's the nature of the satellites? You know, these are just questions. Nobody's asking. But one thing's for sure, you know, two of them are up there floating around doing something. They're doing something. So, you know, something to watch. Get on space news. Now, of course, you know, everywhere I look now, it's like all these mobile websites and gadget websites, which, you know, hey, I'm okay. I'm a big, big fan of gadgets, you know. Oh, yeah. Any, you know, self-respecting cyberpunk, you know, guy would be pretty into the gizmos. They're cool.
you know, can't go wrong with gizmos. Gotta like them. So everywhere I go now, I'm getting smacked in the face by iPods. And now it's the iPhone. Everybody's talking about the iPhone. Oh, God, blah, 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 blah. Mac is going to take over the universe, blah, 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 blah. But the problem I'm having with this is I don't like convergence. I'm not a big fan of convergence. I don't like all my objects being in one object. That way, when my battery fails at my one object, I am just totally screwed. Okay, I don't like that. I don't like that. I like having my... I like having a kit vest which has different gizmos in it that do different things. That way, if something breaks, I'm not, you know, up the creek. But, now check this out. Everyone knows about the iPhone, right? But did you know, and this is hot, this is pretty sexy, get your keyboards ready. There's an open source alternative, which is getting no press whatsoever. At the Open Source in Mobile Conference in Amsterdam on November 7th of 2006... OpenMoco today, this is from way back November 7th, an immediate availability of the completely integrated open source mobile communications platform in partnership with FIC, a world leader in motherboards, graphic cards, mobile solutions, and electronic devices. The announcement for the OpenMoco mobile communications platform coincides with the unveiling of the FIC's Neo 1973 smartphone, which utilizes full OpenMoco platform, will be available in January 2007. The phone looks very, very similar to the iPhone. Until now, mobile platforms have been proprietary and scattered. With the release of OpenMoco, which is based on the latest Linux for open source efforts, developers have an easy way to create applications and deliver services that span all users and provide a common look and feel. OpenMoco also offers common storage models and libraries for application developers, making writing applications for mobile phones fun and easy while guaranteeing swift proliferation and a wide range of applications for mobile phones. This is the kind of thing that people should get involved with. With such extremely high-quality open frameworks, developers will be armed with exactly the tools they need to revolutionize the mobile industry. Because the mobile phone is the new wearable computer. This is technology now. The wearable computer has evolved into the mobile phone. Something to check out. Follow that up. Have a look around with this thing. I mean, the website's pretty straightforward. They got a couple photos. You know, you click on the text or the PDF, you can get some data there. Maybe we can find a little bit more. Very, very cool. I like it. I like it. And, you know, I'm not really one much for the mobile phone thing. I've read a lot of hacks about how you could turn on people's camera phones remotely. You could turn on their speaker phones remotely so people can listen to everything you say. They can look through the phone, take pictures of what you're doing. You know, is that paranoid? Only if it's not true. Only if it's not true. It's only paranoid if it's not true. You know, if it's true that people are actually, you know, putting you under surveillance, things like that, then, you know, maybe you aren't paranoid. If you happen to be aware of it, maybe you just are aware of certain things. And then we get into that whole paranoia versus awareness conversation, which is, you know, completely different. Now, daily hacks, of course, you know, this one is one from Hackaday, which is, you know, I'll be getting a lot of daily hacks from Hackaday. They're a great, great website. You want to check this out. And this device here is pretty cool. It's called a Wave Bubble, a self-tuning wideband portable radio frequency jammer. Sent to me by Jedi Master Laborn. Thank you very much. The website containing design construction of a Wave Bubble. A self-tuning bandwidth portable radio frequency jammer. What does that mean? The device is a lightweight and small for easy camouflaging. Why would you need to camouflage an electronic device you own? It is the size of a pack of cigarettes, so it fits nicely into an external pouch on your Eagle Cyrus. An internal lithium battery-ion battery pack provides up to 2 hours of jamming, two bands such as a cell, or 4 hours single band such as cordless phone, GPS, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, etc. The battery is rechargeable via a mini USB connector or 4mm DC jack. Alternatively, three AAA batteries may also be used. The output power is 0.1 watt for high bands and 0.3 watts for low bands. The effective range is approximately a 20-foot radius with well-tuned antennas, less so with internal antennas or poorly matched antennas. Self-tuning is provided via dual PLL, therefore no spectrum analyzer is necessary to build the jammer, and a single wave bubble can jam many different frequency bands, unlike other designs currently available. To reconfigure the RF band, simply plug into a USB port on your PC and type in the new frequencies when prompted. Multiple frequency ranges can be programmed in each time the device power cycled. It will advance to the next program in memory. Very, very cool. I like the ability to have jammers around me, especially if you've got like Bluetooth snipers, if you've got people who are hacking locally, if you just want to have, you know, a little bit control of your environment. That's very cool. I think a portable radio frequency jammer is something that should be in every single WOG's toolbox. And, of course, as you can tell, I'm going with a lot of toolbox-type things here. Another daily hack today is something, you know, over the time, adware, malware, desktop hijack software, all that stuff, this stuff is getting to be an epidemic. Black ice is getting severe. You can't do anything with black ice these days. It gets around and gets involved in everything you do. It pisses me off. So, in typical SKTFM fashion, I've got some solutions for you. We got Smit Fraud Fix, version 2.132. Very, very cool. And in case you happen to be one of those guys, that gets in there and does a lot of damage, cleans a lot of stuff up. And, you know, for all you script kiddies out there. And as well, here's something you can put on board, a USB to put through your computer. And when was the last time you did a really comprehensive adware, spyware system clean? Really? Get right down. When was the last time you did a good one? Not just SpyBot, not just AdAware. You brought the new stuff in, some new blood that, you know, people haven't been able to work around. When was the last time you did a good cleaning like that? I put it to you, probably has been a little while, and I put it to you, you should probably do it so that you can get the full utilization of your tech. So go check out today's Daily Hacks on my live journal, and you will be able to see what it is I'm talking about. And check it out. That's what I got for you today. Holy cow, did that ever go quick or what? But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the information you need to stay alive. Now, this is a free broadcast, which means that you do not have to pay money to listen to this, and you're free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. But there are people who donate to this program. And as things progress on this program, I don't want people to wind up getting, you know, brought in on ring charges or anything like that. A lot of people say I'm a little paranoid about this. But for those of you out there who've donated to me, especially people who donated over Christmas, that made a huge... That is why this show is back on the air. So not only do I thank you, but I mean the rest of the internet, all you people out there who download the show because you can't afford it, the people who donated are why I'm back on the air, because they didn't give up on me. And if they don't give up on me, well, I can't very well give up on them. So I wanted to say thank you, and I do mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you very much to all those who donated. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca. Click on the donate tab, because every little bit really does help now more than ever. And if I can get, outweigh my other wage on my job, I'll quit. I'll quit, and I'll go back to a daily format. I'll commit to that even. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information, you should probably leak it to WikiLeaks, because it's a better source for that. But if you have pertinent stories, stuff that's not on the cover of CNN, stuff that's not on the Globe and Mail, stuff that's in the back room that nobody's talking about, please email it to me at newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, pick up any album by these guys called The Trojan Army. Very cool album, actually. I had it sent to us here. It comes in a little DVD case. They got a MySpace account. So they're pretty grassroots. Good guys. Their music is all right. I like it a lot. This album they sent me was called Frontal Virus Assault, but they got a new one out, which you probably want to pick up. And I'm going to leave you now the very funny track, which is funny, but it shows how we are all part of the rerun generation. This is Rob Paravonian. Rob Paravonian. Now, I'm probably screwing up his name. I'm sorry if I am. But Rob Paravonian talking about Pac Bell. And you'll see how that applies to the rerun generation. So until next week, everybody, that's what servers say. End of love.
I'm going to leave you with this little story. It's about this piece of music. It's a very popular piece of music. I'm sure you all know it, but I'll sing the melody right now. Just... Yeah, Pachelbel's Bell's Canon in D. It was a big hit in the classical world, and I know this because I'm a geek. I know what you're thinking. It's like, Rob, you can't be a geek. You play guitar. You're so cool. Okay, you weren't thinking that, but I was. Well, I haven't always been this cool because I haven't always played guitar. I started out on the cello. Yeah, cello is a wonderful, beautiful instrument. It's cool to be an adult that plays a cello. Being a kid that played the cello sucked. Because there's no way to be cool when your instrument is larger than you. When you walk to school with a cello, you're like a wounded gazelle on the Serengeti, man. The bullies just smell you coming from a mile away. Ooh, I don't know what that thing is, but I know I'm gonna break it. But I put up with all of the abuse because I love the music that we played. I love everything we played in orchestra except this. I hate Pachelbel's Canon in D with a passion. I hate it so much because the cello part is the worst cello part ever written in the history of cello parts. It's 8 quarter notes that we repeated over and over again. They are as follows. D, A, B, F sharp, G, D, G, A. And that's all we got to play. We repeated those 8 notes 54 times. I counted. Because I had nothing else to do. I would sit back and listen to the violins get lovely melodies, the violas would get lovely melodies, the second violins would get lovely melodies, which should just not happen. And the cello, we got stuck with 8 crappy, lousy, stinking notes. And I began to wonder why. Why would Pachelbel do that to us? Such a beautiful instrument. And my theory was he once dated a cellist. And she dissed him really bad. And so for the rest of his life, he came up with the worst cello parts he could ever think of. But it wouldn't be so bad if I didn't hear him every day. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Rob, don't listen to classical radio anymore. It doesn't matter. Pachelbel's following me. It sounds paranoid, but he's following you too. You hear him every day. I don't know. I went to my stepnephew-in-law's 8th grade graduation, and their graduation song was a song by Vitamin C. No. As we go on, we'll remember. La da 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 da. So on the drive home, I turned on some classic rock, some Aerosmith. There was a time when I was so brokenhearted. La da 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 da. So I got home, I thought I'd clear my mind with some folk music. No. Listen, children, to my story. It was written long ago. They do Pachelbel just like everybody does Pachelbel, just to torment me. I don't even go to Taco Bell anymore because it sounds too close. I hate Pachelbel with a passion. I don't even know his first name. It's probably Johan. They're all named Johan. When you think about it, he's the original one-hit wonder. He had one hit 300 years ago. It's my cross to bear my entire life. Where are they now? That's what I want to know. Where are you now, Pachelbel? VH1's I Love the 1790s. Where is it? And if he would just stay away from music that I loved, it would be better, but he won't. He is shameless. He will follow me to the ends of the earth. I went to Horde Festival thinking, no, he couldn't possibly follow me to the Horde Festival. But you know who was at the Horde Festival? Blues Traveler. So that means that Pachelbel was also at the Horde Festival. Because I was sucking in, sucking in, sucking in, where you're in Berlin or Rinchin Tin. Making a sprint move and then you're in. So I figure I'm going to listen to punk rock for the rest of my life. No dice. Do you have the time to listen to me whine? You know I'm getting really bored, 'cause all songs have the same damn chords. Punk music is a joke, it's really just baroque. Am I just paranoid? I wanna push you around, well I will, I will. I wanna push you down, well I will. Oh, wow, it's been good living with you. And my machine head is better than the rest. My machine head is better than the... See the stone set in her eye. See the thorn twist in her... I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. I'm cold and I'm shamed. Lying naked on the floor. He was a boy, she was a girl. Could it be any more obvious? We're not gonna take it. No, we ain't gonna take it. On your mark, get set, and go now. Got a dream and we just know now. No woman, no cry. When I find myself in times of trouble, Pachelbel's always following me. I'll see you in hell, Pachelbel. Oh, Pachelbel, Pachelbel. I'll see your ass in hell. I'll see you in hell, Pachelbel. Thank you so much, Penn State. Enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks. Thanks.